Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you from a couple of places live on the internet. We're live over on Crowdcast. We're live on YouTube. Or maybe you're hearing the audio podcast later. Wherever you listen to audio podcasts, that is all good. Bam! We're excited to have you out tonight. Just like a little extra juice there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. We need it. Oh, Alex, you play that so loud, I think it cracked my tooth.
Oh, wow, look at that. Oh,
now, this is a different tooth you cracked than the previous tooth, right?
Yes. I've got good luck when it comes to dentistry.
Justin and the well tomorrow. People.
I'm really going as some Lloyd Christmas cosplay here from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Now, you were out shooting your show. Did they bring you on for like a fun bit and your tooth fell out into a drink or something?
That would be a fun bit. My tooth fell out at lunch in Portland, Oregon. The least fun place for it to happen. And I swallowed it, I think.
You swallowed it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I'll never know.
I think you will if you poop it out.
Oh, that's the part we weren't saying, but yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Pete. Why don't we move on to some other things? There's a couple of things that we got to mention here at the top. First of all, last week, we mentioned to you all that we're giving away some tickets for Superman and Lois, the panel over at the Pally Center in LA for their Pally Fest. And if you are interested in some of those tickets, hit us up at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. We still got a couple of pairs we can give away, but we got another giveaway going. Riverdale is also having a panel, and we
that
are giving
old
it
show?
Out. It just got picked up for season 7. So there you go. Big news, breaking news right here on the podcast. But we are giving away a bunch of pairs of tickets through a giveaway. You got to go to Twitter for that one, twitter.com/RiverdaleDark. But that is two Saturdays from now as we're taping it. But we got a bunch of pairs of tickets we can give away. They're totally free. And it should be good. The whole cast is going to be there. They're going to have a screening. It should be super, super fun. So check that out. Now, next thing to mention to you all, we've been asking folks to do this over the past couple of weeks, to leave us a comment, a rating, and a comment
here
on iTunes. We're not here we're going, Pete.
Yeah. We're not going anywhere. Go. Let's get ready.
Oh, my God. We've been getting suggestions, which is really lovely and a wonderful thing for listeners of this show to do, and we would never insult them or put anything down about what they're asking, right, Pete?
Don't we lead the witness.
Yes, absolutely.
That's correct for everyone.
In any case, what we've been asking people is to leave a rating and a comment and then a suggestion for a book that we should review on the show. Could be an old graphic novel, something new, maybe a comic we missed. This week on the Stack Podcast, a request from C. Sash. We're going to be talking about the Adventure Zone Here There Be Gerblins. So we'll be talking about that. But we got a new request here that I'm going to read off. This is from Ziesh on iTunes. Three of the most laid-back nerds on the internet make for the best comic book podcast.
Shots fired right there. Look at that.
That's nice.
Oh, okay. Here is your problem. We're just going to stop here. Your problem is being called a nerd, right, Pete?
No, I love being called the nerd.
Is it laid back? Is that your problem?
Yeah. Don't ever call me laid back.
I mean, that's true. I mean, here's the thing, Pete. I think we have some stuff brewing in the comments that I feel like demands your attention.
No, let's ignore that. Let's focus on what's happening in the show, which is
from a comment from Liwana Nana. Pete, did you give Kitten her 6 p.m. treat? Pete, it's 7. And oh, I got to know.
The kitten doesn't have a treat. You get out of here. Give Kitten a treat.
Can we please talk about the...
It sounds like you are laid back when it comes to kitten treats. A little too laid back for kitten's taste.
On Tuesdays, her, she's got to step up and, help me out with
that. Oh, okay. Okay.
The kitten has to step up?
An hour before the show, when you show up 10 minutes before the show, she's got to step up and kitten has to die for lack of treats. Interesting. All right. Anyway, let's get into this comment.
Yeah,
sure. Three of the most redacted nerds on the internet make for the best comic podcast out there. These guys are just so gosh darn entertaining and have put me on some of my new favorite boob books. Comic rec for the stack, Spider-Man Reign. I read this when I was younger and cried my eyes out, then grew up to find out everybody else hated it. It's my favorite comic of all time, and I feel like many miss the point. This most hated aspect, we all know what that is, makes perfect sense because Spider-Man will always be a foil to Peter Parker. Absolutely love the show, guys. So, Yash, thank you so much for the suggestion. We're not going to come up with any objections or concerns now, but we are going to talk about Spider-Man Reign next week's episode of The Stack and review it. Oh, Pete, that's right. Yeah. You wanted to take a vote.
I wanted to take a vote here because, Justin, here's the thing, right? We have talked about Reign a lot. It comes up a bunch, especially when we're talking about arcs we didn't like or things that we didn't think went well. Mm-hmm. So... should we revisit this, especially if it's already such a touch point that we talk about a lot obviously.
So you're saying, Pete, and I think this is fair. You're saying, should we address the specific thing that the guy asked us to address or should we take a vote on it and ignore it? Right, Pete?
No, I'm saying let's take a vote on it. And maybe, we can, have them circle back around with another book or whatever, if we feel like, I mean, just because somebody's
when a comic,
like, hey,
when a request
that book
comes
you hate, reread that.
Well, hold on, Justin, before you vote, I made a prediction before the show. Pete and I were talking about this a little bit, and I made a prediction that maybe the vote, if you brought it to a vote, would be 2-1. I didn't want to point any fingers. I didn't know who would vote for and who would be against, but I thought maybe 2-1. So why don't we take a quick vote? Who would like to talk?
The vote is always going to be 2-1. Just so we're clear. There's never...
Who just real quick, just off the top of their heads, and if we want to do a blind vote, we can all close our eyes.
Ready? Let's close our eyes.
And the commenters can let us know who votes. So everybody close your eyes. Okay, my eyes are closed. All right. Who would like to talk about Spider-Man Reign? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Everybody count to that. Now, who would not like to talk about Spider-Man Reign? Raise your hand.
Because we already talk about it so much.
Okay. So commenters, what was that? Was that a all three? A 4-1. Oh my God. 4-1 in favor or wow. Three. Pete was psyched.
3-0.
Oh boy. I guess we're going to have to talk about them because it was 4-1. The other little detail I'll mention is one of Pete's suggestions before the show is we just talked about that book a little while ago. And then I very casually mentioned Pete that it came out 16 years ago. So,
The only thing I remember about when we reviewed that book is we did a full screen graphic of the panel in question of the Spider-Man's ween and our live show.
Yeah, we did... The junk to death, that's why.
So
I'm like,
why don't you look beyond the junk, Pete, this time?
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic suggestion. I'm very excited to revisit this because we have joked about it for years. So it'll be really interesting to actually read it again and revisit this book. Now we got one last thing to talk about before we get to our great guest today. So for those of you who've watched the show Peacemaker, you might know that in episode 5, he introduces a cocktail called the Peace Train. The Peace Train is made with gin, vermouth, vinegar, peppercorns, maple syrup, and yak butter, or regular butter if you can't find yak. So obviously a gross drink. I don't even think he likes it, if I remember correctly, in the show. But Will, on our Patreon Slack, provided a challenge to Stray Bullet, Brett Macris, our resident CBC chef, to try to come up with a way of making this cocktail but making it work. And in fact, that is exactly what he did. I'm going to bring I hope this is all right, Stray Bullet, but I'm going to bring up your recipe here on the screen for anybody who's watching live. This is a recipe that is called... Oop, here we go. I don't know why that didn't work. This is a recipe that is called... Well, that's just not working. There you go. What a bummer. Okay, so this is Will's Peacekeeper is the name of it. It's 2 ounces of gin that has been fat washed, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, 1 teaspoon of maple syrup, 1 teaspoon of rice wine vinegar, and then 1 pinch of pink peppercorns cracked and placed on top. So I made that over there, and I'll tell you what. It's not terrible.
There you go.
There you go. So I say a success. Yeah. Like, the thing is, for anybody who hasn't fat washed, this was... Did you discover this, Justin?
Justin fat washes.
I haven't. We talked about it. I don't remember why.
There was a TikTok that did it. It's basically like you take a fat, mix it with the liquor, and then skim off the fat. Yes. I tasted the gin. I made it with salted butter. And it's very weird just because you're getting the taste of gin, but then you're like, oh, this is like salty and creamy at the same time. So kudos to Will. Kudos to Stray Bullet for this awesome recipe, making this work. This is very cool. There you go. Nice. And if you'd like to participate in all the fun, patreon.com/comicbookclub.
It's like taking a bartending class somehow.
Yeah, kind of. Very weird, but it's turned out that way. Why don't we bring in our guest, one of our favorite guys to have here on the show. He is the writer of a new novel that just came out called Secret Identity. Alex Segura, everybody. Hello.
Hey, hey.
Good to see everybody. It's like old home week.
Oh, yes. Wow. Congratulations on the release of your book. It came out a week ago, so if anybody wants to check it out.
On my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I didn't demand it. I didn't walk into my editor's office and say, this has to come out on my birthday.
Wait, what were you more excited about? Your birthday or your book birthday?
My book, because I'm not excited about being 42. I mean, it's fine. It's just not something you're like, this is going to be, this is it.
That's a good nerd number, though. That's Douglas Adams. That's the meaning of life.
That's true. Yeah, it's not a bad year.
Yes. Let's talk about your book then instead. This book is great. As usual, this is a, not as usual, but you write a lot of mysteries. This is a mystery, but it also finally brings in comic books to your work, which is the other side of your life. I assume you have two sides and that's pretty much it.
I'm two people.
Yeah, you're two people. but why was this the right time to write a mystery specifically about the comic book world?
You know, I think this novel, Secret Identity, is so layered. I don't know if I could have done it out of the gate. Like, my first novel was a PI novel, and so it was me kind of feeling and figuring out how to write a novel. And then after that, it became a series. And I think by the end of it, when I finished up the Pete Fernandez books, I really wanted to do something different, tonally different. And I always loved the idea of doing a noir novel set in comics. But I also wanted it, you know, for me, my favorite books take me somewhere else. They make me learn about a different culture, a different industry, a different world or time. And though comics are pretty standard for all of us, like, it's what we consume all the time. Like, the casual person doesn't know how a comic is made or what the industry was like in the 70s. So I thought that would be a really interesting setting. And I was reminded of a thought I had like forever ago when I read Michael Chabon's Cavalier and Clay, Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay. I remember reading it and loving it and thinking, this is amazing. This book was written just for me. But I also remember wanting to read those escapist comics in the book. I wanted to read, like, because you're reading the prose about it. And I'm like, I want to read, just give me the comic. Like, I'll come back to the book. It's not a criticism. They eventually did that in a really cool meta way at Dark Horse. But I thought, wouldn't it be neat to have the comics, like, interspersed in the novel? So that's when I first started toying with that idea. And it really just felt like the culmination. Like, okay, I know how to write a novel. I've done 6 of them already. I think I can do this. I can kind of level up at this moment, and I can throw in the comic pages and not make it seem like, oh, he's just showing off, but it's actually something that, you know, is in conversation with the prose. Let me show you one of the sequences. Yeah, they're by Sandy Jarrell, who is amazing. I should be faster on the draw with this.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say was the sequences are great because they're not just spot illustrations. There's multiple pages and everything like that. So, I mean, maybe you were just getting to this, but I was curious how you handled the pacing, because obviously the pacing of when you're reading a prose page is going to be different from when you're reading a comic book page. So how did you make sure that sort of timed out correctly in your head?
Yeah, that's a great question. I outline pretty tightly. I mean, I outline so I know the structure of the book and I know the ending, but I also leave enough room that, you know, if a character does something that's not in the outline, it's okay. I can kind of follow them along and ride the wave and still adhere to the outline. But in the outline, I had the comic book sequences as interludes, like a short sentence or two saying like, this is what the comic sequence is going to be and how it reflects like the prose that came before and how it kind of tees up what's next. So when Sandy Gerrell read the whole novel, but when he read the outline, he saw the interludes and he kind of picked up on how they were supposed to evoke what had just happened, which he was like the perfect choice. I mean, he's just like such a, yeah, not only a great artist, but a student of comic history. And he does this thing that it's hard to pinpoint, but he's not imitating anyone. It's not like it's Sandy doing Frank Miller or it's Sandy doing like Gene Colan. It's Sandy drawing like Sandy, but he's evoking the style, which I think is really, it's a very nuanced distinction, but he does a great job.
Who were your big comic influences when you were putting this together?
I read a lot of Jim Starlin, a lot of Steve Gerber. I reread Miller's Daredevil stuff. I read a lot of female-led 70s superhero books like Spider-Woman. I ended up doing a deep dive on that up through the Claremont run, and Ms. Marvel, some of the Wonder Woman 70s stuff. And I did a lot of like research just on what books about comics and the industry and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that part next, because obviously you didn't exactly live through the 70s in the comic book industry or
no,
in New York.
So yeah, a very young copywriter.
a precocious little baby in the world of comics.
Holding a cigar in the bullpen? Come on.
I was a toddler when I started at DC.
So what did you look to in particular? I mean, were there any specific reference texts on both sides, either for comic books or for just New York in the 70s that you looked at?
The big one for the New York stuff was this book by Will Hermes, who's a music critic. It's called Love Goes to a Building on Fire. And it's basically a musical history through the prism of his youth, like growing up in New York, of the 70s. And so it talks about not just the CBGB stuff and Max's Kansas City, but also Latin music, jazz, disco, you know, and the avant-garde. And I thought that was so, just gave me a nice texture of what the music scene was like and different venues and what was happening in New York in that decade. So that was really helpful. And in terms of comics, I'd read a lot of them already, just being that kind of reader. I love reading about comics and the industry and the characters in history. But so it's funny, because when I started the book, I was like, oh, this will be easy because I've read all these books. But then I realized I needed to do a much deeper dive. Like, it couldn't just be like, oh, I read Marvel The Untold Story, so I'm going to write a whole novel about the 70s in comics. But I read, you know, one of the books that stood out to me was the Wonder Woman book that Jill Lepore wrote about kind of the untold history of Wonder Woman, which was really inspirational because, you know, we obviously know Moulton Marston is the co-creator of Wonder Woman, but there were some secret unknown co-creators that she uncovered, like his wife and his partner and people that had influence on the genesis of one of the biggest pop culture characters in history. Another one was this graphic novel that Mark Tyler Nobleman did with Ty Templeton called Bill the Boy Wonder, about Bill Finger. And this was before, you know, Bill Finger got the credit that he now has. But, you know, he had a huge influence on the creation of Batman, and for many decades was kind of forgotten. And it's a tragic story. And comics is full of stories like that. So those were important. Another really big one was David Haju's The 10-Cent Plague, which is not set in the 70s. It's about the 50s kind of government interjection in comics, especially the EC comics of the era, and how it basically gutted the industry. And some say irrevocably, like it changed the course of comic book history into more of a mainstream superhero-driven medium. But the reason that book resonated more than I thought it would is because it starts off with the author interviewing this woman who worked in comics at that time for EC, I believe. And she just was never able to find her way back to the industry. So she was kind of like washed away by those committees and, you know, the outcry. And that's really when it all clicked into place, when I was like, well, what if this novel is about a woman who writes this character anonymously and then her collaborator is murdered, so no one knows she's written it. And she, the only way she can reclaim her character is by solving the murder of her friend. Not a great friend, I should say, because he should have put her name on it. Or, you know, like, you know. So
I love what you're saying about comic book history, because I feel like we tend to like airlock like Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern Age, and just be like as if they're separate, when it's like, oh, it's the same people mostly.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, it blurs together, like, you know, their creators.
I mean, on that note, I mean, obviously, like, you're writing fiction, so it's going to be kind of a wash anyway. But was there any temptation there to make people specific analogs to characters from comic books of the comic book industry of the era?
You know, I tried to purposely avoid that, because I think one of the questions I get a lot is like, is Doug Detmer Wally Wood, or is is Jeffrey Carlisle like Chip Goodman? And it's not. I mean, they're just archetypes in life. They're people, you know. The archetype of the difficult, talented artist is, you know, it's huge. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be Wally Wood. It could be Alex Toth. It could be Jack Cole. I mean, there's a lot of elements of different stories, and then there's new elements that I interjected because I wanted them to feel like they were part of the existing history. So the big thing for me was verisimilitude, like making it and something that Cavalier and Clay does really well is you read it, aside from a few fantastical things, you read it and you're like, huh, that could have happened. There could have been escapist comics. And I wanted someone to read this book and enjoy the mystery and then say, wow, I wouldn't be surprised if I found an issue of the Legendary Lynx like in a back issue bin in my comic shop, because this could have happened, you know?
I love that also, because you have to carve out your pocket as opposed, because if you put someone that you're sort of parodying a little bit there, then it sort of messes up that reality you're trying to create.
Exactly, yeah. And I really, my big worry, I think when we signed the deal and I talked to my editor, I was like, I don't want this to be something where we're living in a world where Marvel and DC don't exist for like legal reasons. Yeah. And so, you know, they're there. It's happening at the same time and it's all part of the same story. So that felt like it made it feel a little more legit, I guess.
I think I know the answer to this one, but why why include Miami as well? Obviously, that's a place that you know really well. You've written mysteries set, several mysteries set there, at least. Was there any temptation where it felt like, okay, I've already got 1970s New York, I already got the comic book world, I don't need to work in this aspect as well? Or was that crucial and a part of it?
I think it was crucial once Carmen appeared and I realized who she was, that she was Cuban-American, queer woman moving from Miami. She was from Miami, so it just kind of, it would have just seemed more of a stretch to make it not from Miami. You know, like the Cuban population in Miami is huge. I guess, and I think it's part of me. It's where I'm from. Like, it's so many, you know, Carmen is a piece of so many people I know and so many friends I have that it just made sense to make it work.
Yeah. If this book is a huge hit, or even if it's not, do you think you're going to do a spinoff specifically of the comic book?
We are.
Yeah.
You are.
We just announced it. Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Sandy,
I'm terrible
and I are,
at researching.
No. We announced it, I think, late last week that we are doing a Legendary Lynx comic with Zest World, at least for a digital first.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
The cool thing about that is we're going to do it. It'll be similar to what they did with the Escapist books, is that it's going to be treated in a very meta way. I think we're going to treat it like a lost graphic novel. You know, like those early graphic novels before graphic novels were a thing, like those awkward collections, like Best of the Lynx or something, and that cheesy like 80s cover. And
it's not like disjunctive. It sort of makes sense, but it doesn't quite match up. Replaced an ad that was an ad with a new random panel.
Exactly. And then you'll have like a very like self-congratulatory intro from Jeffrey Carlisle. Carmen won't be credited. Like, you know, like it'll just really feel in-world, which is the hope.
Now, awesome. Given that you have finished this and you've done series before, do you feel like there's an opening here to create a Secret Identity 2 to spin this world out to
Identity
mystery? Identity.
Already got it locked in.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. We're doing my next book with Flatiron. It's going to be a sequel in the modern day. It's going to be set in comics. It'll be a different protagonist. It'll be a different mystery. But it'll be basically the opposite, the other side of the coin to Secret Identity.
Oh, wow.
It'll deal with like the commodification of art and the idea of IP and who owns characters. But Carmen will be there. Carmen will be there. And I'm working on it now. So it's been fun to write. And it's fun. Some of the characters from the first book will show up. But it's a new protagonist. She's a cartoonist, kind of like a a magazine artist, like a New Yorker artist, who once wanted to work in comics but couldn't find a path in. And so she's moved on to this very lucrative, independent cartooning career. But an announcement goes up saying that this company called Triumph Entertainment is relaunching a dusty old character from the 70s called the Legendary Lynx. And so there's this groundswell of social media that wants this artist to take over the gig because they know she's a fan and she's made no bones of her love for this obscure little character. And so she takes the gig and then starts getting these anonymous messages from someone saying you should really look into who really created that character. And so,
cool. That sounds both a great continuation, but also wildly topical with some of the subject matter. How are you going to swim your way through that sort of mess?
It's going to be a slow going, I think, but we'll see. We'll get there.
That's cool. But I also like setting a challenge where you, like, once you get the first one out of the way, it's sort of like, well, let's level up, sort of dance between the raindrops here.
Yeah, I think the challenge with any sequel is that you want it to stand alone. You want people to be able to, if somebody hadn't picked up Secret Identity, they'd pick up this one and still be able to read it and enjoy it and understand, okay, maybe there's a first book I should get to, but still be entertained by what they read.
Almost like a comic book.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. With a beginning, middle, and end.
Well, speaking of which, you're working at Oni now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's that going? How are things over at Oni at the moment?
It's great. It's good. I mean, yeah, they have a great slate of books. They are very, it's a very creator friendly company. We have, I mean, top of, you know, stuff like Jonna and the Unpossible Monsters, Cheer Up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
there's so many great titles. And what I love about Oni is that they have a really great backlist. You know, some of my favorite books were published by Oni, like Stumptown, Queen and Country, Six Gun. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a great team, a lot of good resources. And yeah, it felt like the right time to just kind of try something new.
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything coming out from them in particular that people should be looking for?
I feel like every time there's a new Jonna issue, it's an event, because to me, Chris Samney's art is just magnificent, and he and Laura have crafted this really fun bone-like epic that I think once it's all done and collected into a nice omnibus, people are going to be reading it for a long time. And I've told them this. I was like, this is like a legacy book.
That's awesome.
That's great. I have a process question for you.
Okay.
With all your work at Oni, when do you make the time to write your own stuff?
I don't have any hobbies, so it's like, you know, nice. I work during the day, and then I put the, you know, I feed the kids, put them to bed, not in one movement, like give them food.
Make this spaghetti to go to sleep.
Here's the pizza, go to sleep. No, and then usually at night, I usually write at night on weekends. I don't have I don't really like play video games or watch that many movies, which is a bummer because I like doing stuff like that, but you know, just carve it out because it's also the good thing is like I'm doing something I love anyway. So it's like that's part of the fun when you get to make something that you're passionate about your career.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's awesome. Sure. Alex, thank you so much for coming on. Always
Thanks,
a pleasure
guys.
Seeing you. Congrats on the success. So excited to read both books and the comic book.
Yeah, it's out now.
Creating Thought a mini everything. Empire already. Yeah.
the Alex Segura extended universe.
Awesome. I love it. Alex, so good seeing you. Have a great
man.
Night.
Have a great evening, guys.
All right.
Yeah, Alex.
There you go. Once
Alex, you have to leave as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just all Alex's need to go. Alex's, sorry about that. I apologize. The book is called Secret Identity. It's out now, written by Alex Segura. It's great.
Everybody, unbelievable. Go. He's writing all sorts of things. It's impressive. His range.
He is. He's doing all sorts, is what I like to say.
Yeah.
Is that's licorice? All sorts is licorice?
What? All you think about is candy. Both of you
all the
guys.
Time. All the time, man.
You're
all
trying weird candies and people eating old.
Kevin candy. In the comments knows because we've established that Kevin is around 72 years old earlier tonight. So he's aware that all sorts are licorice, as am I. And we're going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience question.
Dropping British candy on us here, the 7th.
And in audience questions, this is pretty straightforward. If you're over on YouTube, drop a question in the comments. If you're here on Crowdcast, drop it and ask a question. But other than Will's Peacekeeper, what are you drinking tonight, folks? What you drinking, Pete?
I'm having a little vodka ginge, a little vodka and ginger ale.
Nice.
Is it bubbly or flat?
Bubbly.
The vodka, though, right? The vodka is bubbly. The ginger ale is flat.
Treating yourself. Must be a thick of champagne night. I'm drinking one of my favorite beers, Deschutes Fresh Squeeze.
Deschutes.
Very hard to get in New York, but I got this in Pennsylvania.
So flexing on us then.
But I was out in Portland last week, and I was at the Deschutes Brewery, which is very cool.
That is very cool.
That's where you lost your tooth.
I lost my tooth opening a packet of Tabasco sauce.
I've switched over to a Bengali from Six Point.
Good. Keeping it local.
Yeah, which is good stuff. There we go. We got a couple of questions here. So why don't we jump into them? The first one here is from Stray Bullet. What would be your deathbed candy?
Deathbed candy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Rolos.
Classic.
He has it on the tip of his tongue with a Rolos. Rolo.
In this scenario, we assume you have all your teeth that can chew whatever, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That feels like an attack, but sure.
Yeah.
No. I'm just saying. I'm just saying they don't have to grind it up and give it.
Lay them on your eyes like pennies so you can buy your fare across the River Styx with a couple of Rolos.
Darren's like, whatever. Sure, I'll take a couple of Rolos.
I guess mine would be salt and vinegar potato chips.
What? That's not candy.
Yeah.
I'm dying here. Give me a break.
No, wait. Dying candy, bro. Come on.
I don't even really like candy.
Oh, my God.
I'd say Twizzlers.
Brownies?
Twizzlers for me.
Regular brownies?
Twizzlers.
Yeah, big cool. Package of, and I'm talking like regulation Twizzlers. None of that like fruit junk or whatever, you know?
You're the one who's pushing that garbage.
I love Twizzlers.
Yeah, Twizzlers are great.
Good stuff. Hey, everybody should check out Candyman, our podcast about Sweet Tooth on Netflix, where we review a piece of candy and talk about an episode of Sweet Tooth. That was fun. I hope that show comes back so we can eat candy again.
I was going to say, the candy reviewing really overtook a lot of the thoughtful breakdown.
When we talked about the showrunner, wasn't he like... What was the eventual winner? The eventual winner was Snickers from season one. I mean, Snickers, what are you people doing with your lives?
Yeah, Snickers is the ultimate candy. And yes. I guess it would be my answer.
Wow, these are some existential questions here. This is from Pablo De Martinez. What's your go-to comic when you feel like taking your mind out of reality and why?
Ooh, great question, Pops. Taking my mind out of reality.
You know, this is a very current one, but a lot of like Avengers Forever, a lot of Jason Aaron stuff, even though it's very dark, it's so big and so arch and so ridiculous most of the time. It's just fun to read, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a great answer, and I agree with you. I mean, my first answer is sort of an easy one. It would be rereading Starman. One of my favorite comic runs of all time. But I think specifically the reason is I feel like when you read something that you love from a time in your life, you can really step backwards in time in a way when you're rereading it. And that's when I really want to like immerse myself and get away.
Yeah, it depends on how badly I need to escape, how like what's going on. Like if I'm just looking to have some fun and just kind of like escape a little bit, I go with Book Hunter because it's light and hilarious. If I'm in like kind of crisis and I'm not doing too well, I need to go all the way back to childhood. So I got to go to like old school TMNT type of thing where, you know, back in, you know, when things were great and there was a lot of hope, you know, those were things that kind of, yeah.
I hearing that, Pete, it makes me think, before we start every show, could you hold up whatever comic book corresponds to your mood? Sort of like a hostage newspaper, just so we can sort of get a handle on what we got coming our way.
This is slightly apropos of this question, and I only bring it up because I was reminded of it this weekend. I was having breakfast with my parents, and I had completely forgotten about this, but apparently every summer, when I was a kid, as soon as school was done, I'd be like, all right, time to read my entire comic collection from the beginning. And so it would get bigger every single year. But that was my initial project for the summer. As soon as school was done, I just put it down and read the comics. And they'd be like, the way my dad described it is they'd be like, can you please go outside? And I'd be like, I have five comics to go. I can't go outside yet.
You truly are an easygoing nerd. That's crazy. Please go outside, Alex. You're wasting away. You're so pale.
I was. I would take the comics outside and I'd read outside or book outside.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, this is a related question from Kieran Broderick, but would you share your last death roll, though?
Yeah, well, it depends.
What if you and I were on a sinking comic book cruise ship, stuck in the same cabin, both going down, one rollo between us?
Yeah, I'm eating it. I mean, the whole thing. If I'm friends with the person, you know what I mean? Then
which you are friends with.
Then I would give that. If I had two rollos, I'd give them a rollo. But you know,
have you ever with like a girl you're dating? Have you ever done the Lady and the Tramp thing, but with a rollo?
Sure, I'd love to do that.
Have you ever Lady and a Tramp with one of Kitten's 6 p.m. treats? Because you missed that opportunity tonight, I'll tell you.
I don't know what you're insinuating, but I don't appreciate it.
Great.
Little kitten kisses. Little nose rubs.
This is the night. It's a beautiful night. And they call it Feed Your Kitten. This is from Kevin. What's something for the real world that you first learned about through comics? I'm going to say sex. What about you guys?
Really? That was your first exposure?
That was it, huh?
Yeah, can you believe it?
The nine-panel funnies?
That explains a lot.
And you married a clown, you say?
Definitely nudity. There was this Iron Man comic book that was like the first adult Iron Man comic book, and I was like,
wow. But you got adult Iron Man comics, like Tijuana Bibles?
Yeah. I've told this story before where I went to the Marvel offices and they were like, take whatever you want for this box. And I was like, this Iron Man thing looks interesting. There's a scene of Iron Man in a hot tub with a bunch of naked ladies. And they're like, they're naked.
Wait, and they were like, yeah, little kid, take this.
They didn't stop me.
They probably didn't know that. Scenes in each issue. I have an answer that I like. New York City. When I, growing up in upstate New York, reading comics, and I was like, that's New York. Both like Spider-Man comics, Avengers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon.
Huh. Oh, the other one about sex was when Havoc slept with Madeline Pryor in the Outback. That was something I was like, what's going on here?
Alex,
should I keep going with this? Should I keep adding?
A lot of quick memory recall. So tell us the positions of the body, the bodies.
What?
I mean, they were all in shadow the entire time.
Oh, my God. What
is happening? Which is where I took it from.
Yeah. Oh,
my God. What is happening?
Turn the lights off and position them in such a way that it's sort of a rectangular panel of light casting.
If you could say, oh gosh, oh golly, oh wow, the way that Chris Claremont writes it, that would be preferable as well.
Oh my God, what is happening? You.
Your thought bubbles aren't matching up with what I think the thought bubbles were.
Could you say something like the subtotal of my psychic powers? That would really get me going. Oh.
Now we're getting specific. Excelsior!
What's the next question?
You didn't answer the question, Pete.
I can't. You're erasing my brain and memories with your horrible thoughts and images.
Just your favorite sex comics, Pete.
Yeah. Where did you first learn how to have sex?
Oh, that was the question, right?
Yeah. All right, we got one more here. I think this is actually for both of you guys, not for me. This is from Pablo DiMartinez. What's your take on Hugh Grant up for being the next Doctor Who? Justin, Pete? Pete, Justin?
I mean,
Justin,
sure.
Pete?
Why not?
Pete, this sort of applies to the rom-com beat, at least a little bit. Yeah. You have to be a Hugh Grant guy.
Flopsy. Yeah, get Flopsy in there.
Don't know so this about. Is all right. I'll talk about this. Is the one Doctor Who fan on the podcast. It. So there is a classic British tabloid style rumor that Hugh Grant is going to take over as the Doctor in the next season of Doctor Who. Russell T. Davis, who reinvented it in 2005, is coming back, so they believe that there's going to be another similar reinvention. Is it possible? I guess they could do that, but more likely they're not going to do that. As is, he would be totally fine as the Doctor. They can... That would be okay. I do think Jodie Whittaker, who is the current Doctor, is fantastic at the Doctor, not served very well by the stories that they're telling with her. The episodes have not been great. I hope that they don't dial back on, well, we already had a lady Doctor, so we don't have to have another lady Doctor. If anything, I wish they would double down on it and be like, no, this was not a one-off thing that we're trying. We're going ahead with this, but we will see what it is. Whatever it is, it's exciting that Russell T. Davies is coming back. I think he's going to do a great job with it. He did an amazing job to begin with. He's only grown as a storyteller and done incredible, incredible TV series over the years in between. So should be a lot of fun. We do actually have a couple of other questions that came in. This is from Nelson Martinez over on YouTube. Are you guys excited for season 3 of The Boys? And what did you think of the trailer?
I am excited. Also, that show what's up, really. Nelson? Yeah. What's up?
The tube.
I am excited for, I think The Boys season 2 especially has really like loomed much larger than I initially thought when I watched it. And it's become like just such a big show and something to really look forward to.
That trailer was a lot. Like, I don't know if you guys saw it. It came out of South by Southwest. It was just a nonstop barrage of insane images to the point where, and this is, I think, what they were going for. Like, it's too much. It was overwhelming, the amount of things that were happening there. You can't really put it together as a story. But like you were saying, Justin, I'm very excited for the show to come back. Season 2 was phenomenal. And apparently season 3 is totally wild. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, super excited. I mean, we were there, you know, seeing the first episode in the movie theater for that event we did.
Oh, yeah.
Right when we like kind of saw that with the live audience in that kind of like first big move of running through that person, it was, and just like I was like, oh, this is a different kind of show, and they kind of know exactly what they're doing. So I was, I've been nothing but impressed with the show. Can't wait for more.
Do we, real quick, do we still have those hats, Pete?
I think I have them.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So if anybody wants a Boys hat, hit up Justin. We've got like, what, 150?
Yeah, come by. I'll shout my address at the end of the episode and you can just pop over anytime.
Sounds great.
Yeah, bonus points if you're a dentist.
Two last questions here. This is from Luana Nana and they're related. Do you think Kevin is a vampire or a werewolf? And relatedly, are you Team Jacob or Team Edward?
Wow. I think Kevin is a vampire who doesn't eat human blood, but puppet blood.
I think he is a vampire that lives off McDonald's. Has somehow kind of
oil.
I think he's a vampire. I think he's a vampire that eats all sorts, which is old-timey licorice. So there you go.
Oh, nice. Boy.
He's a hungry and
Team
vampire.
Edward, was anybody, like, they played that up a lot. I know nobody wants to know the answer to this, but they really played up the whole, like, Team Edward, Team Jacob thing. Was anybody actually Team Jacob? Because I don't think so. I think it
was. Wait a second.
Was he the werewolf?
Jacob was the werewolf, right?
Yeah.
I'm Team Jacob.
You're Team Jacob?
That's right.
Taylor Lautner?
This is a.
Why?
Because the werewolf, that's why.
Friday Night Lights.
Because werewolf. He was
also great. He's been amazing in some funny, he's had some funny roles. He killed it in that one rom-com where he was playing that he was like dating Taylor Swift. It was a really funny scene.
All right.
No idea. I've never seen the Twilight movies.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I saw the first one and I actually thought it was better than I thought. And then I went to see the second one in theaters and that was ranks among one of my worst movie going experiences because I remember my soul at some point feeling like it literally was leaving my body because I was like, this movie has been half of my life so far. It is never going to end. Nothing. I'm going to be trapped here forever. This is a horrifying, horrifying, terrible movie experience.
So oh, there you go.
Team Edward.
Amazing.
And that is it for your audience questions. Woo! We are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Pete LePage.
All right. This part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win a $25 Midtown Comics gift card online so you can safely buy comics. Zelbs, are we picking from the stream or is it a pre-registered person?
From the stream to our team today. If you want to be on trivia, just say hand up or me over in the comments on Crowncast. Or if we don't get somebody on Crowncast, YouTube as well, just let us know and we will try to work it out, though it will be a little bit of a delay. Whoever wants to come in, $25 is going to be yours.
What a great deal.
Nothing. It is.
Sweet.
Nothing better.
And if somebody doesn't choose it, the Justin and I will compete for $25 for a charity of our choice.
All right.
Wow. I've never really done that before.
Yeah.
How do we compete? How do we compete in this journey?
Well, we both represent. Oh, we got a hand up from Paul Fernkoff.
Hey, Paul.
Yes,
all right.
Paul.
There we go. Well, take that, charity. I'm going to bring Paul with you.
That's no way to talk about Paul.
Here. Hello.
Hey,
Paul.
Hey, Paul. Ooh, that's a great room you're in there, Paul.
Look
that's
at
amazing.
That stack.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay, well, yeah. Pete, why don't you take it away with the trivia?
All right. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend Mitchell Ryan, RIP. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. Who is putting together a new team in Legion of X out April 20th? Is it A, Nightcrawler, B, Wolverine, or is it C, Alan Arkin? So it's either A, Nightcrawler,
A.
Or it's B.
No, oh, got Wolverine. It.
A
is correct.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice job. Here we go.
Huge Alan Arkin.
Number two. Speaking of April, what final issue is coming out April 27th? Is it A, Island Grinder number 7, B, TMNT The Last Ronin number 5, or is it C, Jenna Elfman? So
B.
It's either A, which is incorrect, or it's
crushing
B.
It.
Wow.
Nice job. Nice job. Here we go. Last one.
Jenna Elfman.
Who is writing Riddler Year 1 due out in October? Is it A, Greg Pak, should be? Or is it B, Paul Dano? Or is it C, Joan Cusack? So it's either A, Greg Pak, or it's B, Paul Dano.
Paul Dano.
You are
yes. Congratulations.
Correct, yes.
You have won a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email, comicbookclublive@gmail.com, to get it sent to you. And do you have a guess as to the secret movie that Pete was referencing in his third answers?
I don't know it.
All right. Is Kevin correct? Is it Gross Point Blank?
Great movie.
Classic.
There you go. All right, Paul, congratulations. Love
the room. Love your
room. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Great room,
Paul.
Sorry,
charity.
I never apologize.
All right, there we go. And if you want to do trivia, I've dropped the form in the comments here on Crowncast and YouTube. Or you can check it out on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Before we wrap up here, new comic books coming out all the time. What are you guys looking forward to? Pete, what are you looking forward to that's coming out this week?
I tell you what I'm looking forward to is Wolverine Patch number 1.
I was going to say, there's a lot of Pete in this upcoming comic book day.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff. Also, Detective Comics 1058. But I don't want to take them all. I want there's a lot of great comics coming out, though.
Justin, what about you?
I'm just going to pick one more for Pete. Venom Lethal Protector number 1 that I think.
Oh, really? That's on your list? Nice.
No, that's not my list. I'm saying that's one you would want to say.
Oh, yeah. Definitely if I could get another one for sure. But I don't want to take them all. How about you pick one?
Department of Truth number 17.
Of course.
A comic that I really love. And every issue takes another step forward. And this one is really crystallizing a lot of the sort of backstory.
I'm looking forward to We Have Demons, number one, from Dark Horse Comics. This is re-teaming Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. They were an incredible team over on Batman. It'll be exciting to see what they are going to do on a creator-owned property. And very coincidentally, all those titles are going to be in the Stack podcast.
That is crazy. What are the odds?
It's weird how that keeps happening every week.
There are a lot of comics out there.
It's
also, if you guys aren't going to bring it up, I wanted to Ghost Cage. Am I getting that?
Oh, yeah, Ghost Cage from Image Comics by Nick Dragota and Caleb Goldner.
Yeah.
Also really great.
If you like East of West, I think you might like that book.
Yeah, if you like ghost cages or ghosts in cages, check out Ghost Cage number one. All of those titles are going to be in the Stack podcast that drops in the Comic Book Club feed and its own dedicated Stack feed every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And folks, here, I'm going to bring it back to you. I did it. Nailed it.
Woo!
That is it for this week's show. A couple of people we need to thank. Alex Segura for coming on the show. Check out Secret Identity in bookstores everywhere right now. Next week on the show, Jason Aaron is going to be here.
Yes!
Oh, can you believe it?
In your face, Pete!
Yeah, he's going to talk about Punisher, Avengers, probably a couple of other things.
We'll probably just talk to him about Punisher the whole time, though, right, guys?
Let's see. Are you going to yell at him?
Come on.
Just
don't yell at him.
Couple of other things we want to plug. Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, is back. So you can check that out now on Sundays. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and also get great cocktail recipes. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Take care of yourself out there.
Feed your kids.
Plastic couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they'll let that special guest.